Welcome to The Signal. I'm Molly McNaughton.
And I'm Hannah Vino. We're journalism students in the audio workshop at the University of King's College.
Today on the show,
Halifax encampment residents face eviction.
This is a state of emergency, and it has been, and it will continue to be until we actually start listening to the unhoused.
Molly will have more on that story.
And
nobody comes to the door, nobody writes a note, nothing. They just tell the car, and they expect you to know.
Thinking of parking on the street during a blizzard? Not snow fast. Dylan Taylor explains Halifax's winter parking ban.
Also coming up,
it gives me a lot of pleasure to encourage others and to give them the support that I wish I'd had.
The chair of a performing arts group in Halifax is passionate about supporting young creative talent.
But first,
yesterday, the Halifax Regional Municipality put up eviction notices on encampments across the HRM. People sheltering in 5 of the 11 designated locations have to vacate by Monday, February 26th. Molly, you reported on this.
Yes, I did, Hannah. I went down to Grand Parade Square and spoke to a resident and a volunteer. Grand Parade in front of City Hall is one of the encampments given notice yesterday. City officials hope people will move into the indoor shelters, such as the newly opened $3 million shelter at the Halifax Forum, or find other supportive housing options.
How else do you think you're going to fill the beds if they don't close the encampments? That's the only way they can fill them. They got to force people to go there, and that's what they're doing. They're forcing the hand.
Rick Young's been living in a tent at Grand Parade for 6 months. He says he's not moving to the indoor shelter because there's no security.
You don't know who's sleeping beside you anytime you go there. It could be somebody with a mental break in the middle of the night and he's 6 feet away from you. And that's not security. At least here we have some sort of security. We know these people. We're a family here. If something happens, we have each other's back. If anything happens in the forum, you can get kicked out at 3:30 in the morning, you know this, right?
In a release yesterday morning, the municipality said, during the past year, Halifax Fire and Emergency responded to more than 110 calls for service, including several tent fires. Jake Fulton is the public affairs advisor for the municipality. He says the indoor facilities are a better option than sleeping rough.
They provide a warm space with electricity, heat, running water, showers, laundry service, regular meals, and a place to store belongings. They also provide on-site access to needed supports and a pathway to longer-term housing options.
For the last 82 days, Matthew Grant has been volunteering at Grand Parade. He says no one should be living in a tent, but
if you have an addiction, if you have mental illness, this shelter is the last place you need to go to get any help, because it's not going to be there. We have to stop doing things for the unhoused, thinking that we know what's best for them, thinking that we know what they need, what their wants are, because we don't, because we're already housed.
Grant says he would have liked to see city politicians come and talk to the people in the encampment about what they want.
What would you rather have? Would you rather have a shelter? Or would you rather have a hotel room, a tiny home? Those two options there will always be chosen over going to a shelter.
Notices zip-tied on the tents warn that people who don't obey the eviction notice could face fines or be arrested. Rick Young says he's not prepared to leave.
We're staying, and we need the Halifax community behind us. When on that day when they start kicking us out, we need you down here more than we need anything.
For The Signal, I'm Molly McNaughton in Halifax.
In a statement, the municipality said it will continue to work with other orders of government and community housing not-for-profits to support affordable housing options. It's also committed to providing supports at the indoor shelters.
For more information on resources and services, you can visit halifax.ca. Last weekend, many Haligonians woke up to huge snowdrifts covering their cars. Some even found their cars had completely vanished. From Friday night to Monday morning, the city towed 16 vehicles to clear streets for snow removal. They also issued more than 1,400 tickets. The Signal's Dylan Taylor has more. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Molly.
So why exactly are the people seeing their cars ticketed and towed?
Well, the city technically has a parking ban from 1 to 6 a.m. every night in the wintertime. They just don't enforce it until we get a lot of snow. The idea is to keep the streets clear so snowplows can get through.
But if you don't have a driveway or a garage, where are you supposed to park?
That's the thing. The city doesn't really have an answer. Despite a lot of complaints on social media, there aren't any dedicated places for people to park when it snows. I spoke to city spokesperson Bryn Button about this.
Our typical message is to secure off-street parking. I know it can be quite difficult, but it is important so that we can get those streets cleaned up and also so that we don't hinder emergency vehicles who are trying to pass through when we have this volume of snow on the ground.
Regional Councillor Tony Mancini spelled it out even more clearly. He took to X over the weekend to update constituents on plowing progress in Dartmouth, and he was very, very critical of those who didn't move their cars before the big snowfall. For Mancini, it is everyone for themselves when it comes to winter parking.
You got to figure it out. I mean, city's not going to provide parking spots for everybody. You have to make other arrangements.
So who is this affecting?
So I spoke to this guy, Dawson Laboon, who had his car towed. He was just completely blindsided.
Nobody comes to the door. Nobody writes a note. Nothing. They just tow the car, and they expect you to know.
Dawson is a student, and he says the city probably could be more considerate of young people who are new in town and aren't familiar with how Halifax handles snow.
They got to understand that it's pretty much it's a university city, right? Mainly. Half of these people getting towed and ticketed are mostly university students who don't have a driveway or can't afford parking. They definitely need to change their ways with that because it's pretty unacceptable.
So what's the solution? What do people without driveways do when it snows?
From what I can tell, the best thing to do is to shell out some money for a parking lot.
All right. Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks a bunch.
Parking enforcement is off for now. You can track parking bans during weather events on the city's X account, at HFXGov, or by calling 311. They also post more detailed updates on their website's service update page.
Realtor in Halifax is helping fund the music education of some young people in the province. Jules Chamberlain is also a board chair with Cecilia Concerts. He told the Signal's Eunice Abega he spends his money to give students a chance he never had.
I'm Jules Chamberlain. You know me by now.
Jules Chamberlain is the youngest child of seven. Three of his four sisters got into piano lessons but did not continue. When he asked to take lessons, his parents said no.
I was creative and artistic. The comment that I would typically hear was, "That's lovely, dear, but you don't earn a living with that." That particular comment was kind of echoed through those early years. And so now, having learned to earn a good living, it gives me a lot of pleasure to encourage others and to give them the support that I wish I'd had when I was younger.
So, more than a decade, Chamberlain has supported young musicians through scholarships and concerts.
I've been involved with Cecilia for about 11 years, maybe 12. It's only just a few years ago that I created my scholarship, which is held through Brevoort in Nova Scotia, and it's awarded once a year. And we also present at least one concert per year, which features and encourages young musicians in the community here.
Craig Morris is the executive director for Cecilia Concerts. He says Chamberlain also supports performances that give students a chance to play.
He's donated a very generous sum of money which allows us to be able to put these concerts on. We couldn't do it. We could not do it without him.
Lynn Stadola is a retired music professor from Dalhousie. She now teaches music privately.
That Jules has a real purpose in educating our young musicians by, and it's, he's very supportive. From my experience with him, he has featured some of my students to give free concerts to the public, and that's been a great opportunity for them.
For his part, Chamberlain says it's an opportunity for him to finally live vicariously through the students' music.
I love that experience of sitting there. I love that experience of listening and feeling the music, the emotions that that music can stir from within, as well also as knowing that I'm sharing it with that room full of people.
For The Signal, I am Eunice Abaga.
Thanks, Eunice.
Stay tuned for more music. Last week, the ECMA nominations were released.
Our reporters Molly and Victoria hit the streets to ask Haligonians about their favorite local musicians.
Who is your favorite East Coast musician?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know the name, but I know the song. It's like Privateers. I don't know like the name of the song, but that's it.
Yeah. Can you give us a little taste?
Oh, the year was 1778.
I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. A letter of mark came from the king to the scummiest vessel I've ever seen.
God. Maybe gonna take it back to an era that's not entirely over yet, but I'm going for the Scoopettes.
I don't listen to local music. Oh, actually, DaWindigos. They're an Escasoni Cape Breton band. You should give them a listen.
I think Alves, like they're from Cape Breton, right? I really like her.
You expressed explicitly your content.
Well, I don't know my favorite, but I like Aquaculture. That's pretty good. It used to be my neighbor. He used to live on Godgen Street, and they used to play at the local. And I heard him on the radio, and he's just in the neighborhood kind of thing.
Probably Jill Plaskett. I've listened to his music since I was a kid. I've just always been really into like folk music and kind of traditional kind of folk songs. I grew up with a lot of rock, but I also have a lot of Newfie family, so that kind of always shows through.
Listen up, kid. It's not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town.
You're listening to The Signal on CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax.
You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Just search The Signal, a Halifax podcast.
We're bringing you stories from the audio workshop at the University of King's College. I'm Molly McNaughton.
And I'm Hannah Vino. Still to come on the show,
Dine Around is back.
I think it helps get people out of the house and, you know, keeping the restaurant industry alive in Nova Scotia.
Hannah speaks to chef Ian Clark about the program.
Also on the show, a roaring good time.
There's so much research in the dinosaur field that there's always new things to talk about and new things to showcase.
Kaylee Stevens tells us more about the Natural History Museum's new exhibit.
And stay tuned for more music. The 53rd Annual Juno Awards are taking stage in Halifax this March. But how many people know what it is? Kate Berrio will have that story.
And for our last story on today's show,
if you don't move it, you lose it, they say.
Victoria Brzezinski-Szajanice takes us to the Central Library, where older adults dance their Tuesdays away.
Mm-hmm.
winter can be a tough time for restaurants, especially ones that are still recovering from the pandemic. The Restaurant Association of Nova Scotia and Discover Halifax are running their Dine Around program again. Any restaurant in the province can choose to run a special, usually cheaper, prefixed menu for the month of February. Hannah, you reported on this.
I did, Molly. Visiting PMQ Restaurant, I realized it is important to support restaurants who may struggle during the winter. Chef Ian Clark says participating in Dine Around is a great way to help during this time. He is also the owner of PMQ Restaurant. He says that the program turns a usually miserable month into a decent one.
Our February has seemed like it's going to be a lot better than our January was, so we do have a very long, very gray winter, and our short summer season isn't necessarily enough to keep everybody afloat the whole year round.
The Restaurant Association of Nova Scotia has put on the event since 2003. Executive Director Natasha Chestnut says each year it continues to grow even bigger. She says over 100 restaurants signed up this year.
The main reason Dine Around was created was to help encourage people to get out dining during an often quiet time of year. So this was a really great program that was created to allow restaurants to get, you know, creative with their menu options, do something fun, maybe do something different. You just pick your price point, so $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, and then you just come up with the menu that you want to offer during that time.
Last weekend, many places were forced to shut down due to the storm. Clark says this is another example of why having Dine Around this month is needed.
Oh, it's pretty much devastating on our side. We were still open on Saturday, lost our Sunday, and you just see what's supposed to be making some profit when everything is already hard pressed to just, and now we will have almost nothing for the whole weekend. So it's a hard pill to swallow, especially at the beginning of a month.
With the program, things could start to look a little better for local restaurants.
I remain very hopeful, so and I think Dine Around is an important part of what makes the winter bearable. If anything, we need more things like this to keep it going.
And Clark says he is looking forward to this coming weekend. A lot of people who canceled because of the storm have rebooked. For The Signal, I'm Hannah Vino in Halifax.
You can find a list of participating restaurants on Discover Halifax's website. And now,
this month, the Museum of Natural History in Halifax opens its doors to dinosaurs. It's been 4 years since the museum's last dinosaur exhibit, and staff can't wait for the Haligonians to see what's in store. Kaylee Stevens took a trip to the past to bring us the scoop.
As you walk into the Museum of Natural History, there stands a 16-meter-long Maluisaurus skeleton lit up in green. The dinosaur, along with all the others on display, were cast by Research Casting International, the same company who casted the skeletons in the 1993 Jurassic Park movie. The last time the museum had a dinosaur exhibit was in 2019. Those dinos were animatronic, but the dinosaurs that are in the museum today are life-size and made of concrete and plastic bones. Kids were tumbling around the exhibit with smiles on their faces. What's your name?
Aurelia.
And what's your favorite dinosaur?
The Triceratops. Because it's just really cool, and I would say that I like the three horns.
Pterodactyls.
Yeah, pterodactyls.
Yeah, they're the ones that dinos.
The first dinosaur exhibit the museum put on was in 2011. The museum's manager, Jeffrey Gray, says that every time they have dinosaurs, people just keep coming back.
I've joked to a number of people that dinosaur exhibits are like the Olympics. You kind of need to do them every 4 years anyway. And there's always new dinosaur enthusiasts being born. And there's so much research in the dinosaur field that there's always new things to talk about and new things to showcase.
Grace says there's been talk of making a portion of it part of their permanent collection, especially now that they've purchased a cast of the Nova Scotian dinosaur, the Coelophysis.
I don't know what we'll look like at this point, but we are looking at options for at least incorporating the Coelophysis and some of that Coelophysis Nova Scotian dinosaur story into what you can see here permanently.
Regardless, Grace says dinosaur exhibits will continue to make a comeback, even if they're just for a temporary collection. The current exhibit is in the museum until June 23rd. For The Signal, I'm Kaylee Stevens in Halifax.
That sounds dynamite. The museum is open daily from 9:30 until 4:30 p.m., except for Thursdays when the museum is open until 8:30 p.m.
Halifax is hosting the Juno Awards this year for the first time since 2006. But what do Haligonians know about the Junos? Kate Berrio hit the town to find out.
What do you know about the Junos?
I'm really bad for this.
Junos are in Halifax this year.
They're a Canadian Music Award, kind of similar to the Grammys, but for Canadian music.
Is there any performances that you are interested in watching?
I don't know who's in the Junos or what artists are performing or anything like that.
Honestly, I don't know who's nominated.
I know some of the vague bands. I know like the Arkells are nominated, the Beaches are nominated for something.
Is there any Canadian artists that are your favorite?
Favorite current one, probably July Talk, but also I'm a big fan of the Weaker Thans, but they're no longer together, so.
I guess I'm a Nelly Furtado kind of fan. It's kind of old school stuff.
Yeah, she's actually hosting this year.
Kidding me?
She's hosting and performing this year.
I had no idea. That's good. I like that.
It's cool.
Starts Thursday, March 21st in Halifax. The Juno Awards will air on Sunday, March 24th.
Speaking of music, I love to dance, and so does this next group. Canada's National Ballet School has teamed up with a facility that supports seniors to offer dance classes. The Sharing Dance with Older Adults classes happens at the Halifax Central Library every week. The program is designed for older adults looking for a chance to exercise and socialize through dance. Victoria Brzezinski-Szajanis has the story.
Go for a skate. Out and in. Out and in. One skate.
Gentle on. Steps echo through Paula Regan Hall.
Here we go.
A group of 12 women move their hands rhythmically to the melody of the piano. They imitate the falling snow.
Reach and in, go for a spin.
This is a Tuesday morning at Halifax's Central Library. For more than a year now, a group of women have been gathering for a weekly dance class. They can dance standing or sitting. One of the participants is Pam Punch.
I've always been really active, and a lot of things I used to do before COVID had been canceled and hadn't resumed. So I was literally cut back to just walking, and I really wanted more variety. So when I saw this advertised at the library, I decided to come and got hooked.
Pam comes to the library with about 14 other women. Together, they gather in front of the hall's auditorium. Each has a chair at their disposal. They listen to the instructions from a video. Every movement comes with a story and aims to take the dancers into a journey. This week, the story relates to the weekend snowstorm. Participants imitate making snowballs, skating on a rink, and making maple syrup.
And boil. Boil. And stir. Boil and stir.
Shelby Kennedy is a programming and events specialist at the Central Library. She works with the National Ballet School to put on the program. The ballet school records videos with dance instructions accompanied by a piano in the background. Then, they send the videos to the library. Shelby's role is to introduce the class and help along.
I just want people to walk away from the class feeling good in their bodies and feeling good about themselves.
For many participants, like Barbara White, dancing is a way to get moving, especially after being stuck at home during a snowstorm.
You can't get enough movement. I spent 3 days at home in a snowstorm watching shows on TV.
But for Pam, it's not just the dancing that brings her out.
So we, every time a class went, afterwards we'd get together and talk and have coffee.
Chris Butler agrees socializing is a big component for the women attending the dance class.
When you're younger, you have an opportunity to meet friends, either through school or university, through work. But once you're retired, it's a little harder to make a social contact. So that's why I think this is a great opportunity that the library has presented.
Other hand.
For the participants of the dance class, moving and making friends is where it's at. For The Signal, I'm Victoria Brzezinski-Szajanis.
Check out Halifax's Public Library's website for more information about the classes.
That's our show for today. Thanks to our social media editor, Kaylee Stevens.
You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and X at SignalHFX. On Facebook, we're The Signal Halifax.
Thanks to our producer, Victoria Brzezinski-Szajanis, and associate producer, Kate Berrio.
A shout-out to our technician, Mark Pinio, in the control room.
Our reporters this week were Dylan Taylor, Eunice Abaga, and Kaylee Stevens.
Our audio professor is Christina Harnett. I'm Hannah Vino.
And I'm Molly McNaughton. Thank you for listening.
We'll be back next week with our last show of the season.